Hi everyone, this is kind of an unusual time for Elemental Evolution, but it's been an unusual holiday, so I'm hoping that everyone can tune in and enjoy the show. We've had so much happening over the last couple of months, and there's been so many different types of changes in people's lives, and one of those is experiencing the passing of other people, experiencing the loss of people in relationships. These types of things have been going on. And Stephen Roberts is here to talk about that with us today. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, everyone.
So you've had a lot going on, and it's been, what, 8, 9, 10 weeks?
Almost 11. Tomorrow would have been 11.
Yeah, so it's been a long haul. So why don't you kind of tell the audience and a little bit about what was going on and what you're experiencing?
Well, 11 weeks ago, I know we had, I don't know what month it was, October or last month or something, but we had 5 weeks in that particular month. It's been just been a blur for weeks and weeks and weeks, as far as I'm concerned. But October 14th, my mother had a heart attack. She was rushed to the hospital. There wasn't really enough time to call an ambulance because she had just gotten home from work about 5:30 in the evening, early evening, on a Monday, October 14th, and she had had a little bit of dinner and was having some problems breathing. Come to find out a little bit later, she had had the same type of problem at lunch. She had had problems swallowing and problems breathing. So the doctor figured that she had a heart attack at lunch or something mild that was giving her some problems when she got home and had a little bit of dinner and tried to go to pool league. She's been a pool shooter for as long as I have. Her and my stepdad got into pool way back in the mid-70s. I think they met in 73 maybe or something. And when they were dating, they would go out and play pool and dance and drink and have a good time. And she'd been playing pool just as long as I had, since the mid-70s. But she was having problems and breathing and swallowing that particular Monday, the 14th of October. And I mentioned to her it could be congestive heart failure. And she said, "No, I'm not having heart failure. I've got fluid in my lungs." And I said, "Okay, yes, that's congestive heart failure." And she just ignored me. I started to walk out to her car to go to pool, and she knocked on the window and told her husband, Bob, to take her to the hospital. She wasn't going to make it anywhere. She hardly made it to the car, but she was starting to turn blue. She was choking and not being able to breathe all the way to the hospital. And it turns out probably 30 seconds before they got to the hospital, she was slumped over and she was blue. And he got her into emergency and they got her back. They got her back almost immediately because by the time he parked the car, they had already had her back. And she had coded, or her heart stopped two more times inside of 8 hours that night, which would have been the 15th, Tuesday. And she was eventually stabilized after 8 hours and three near-death experiences. She spent two nights in that particular hospital in my town here, and she got shipped up to a bigger hospital in a bigger city about 30 miles away. And after 5 days, they ended up doing a double bypass, open heart surgery. And eventually, 2 days after that, her large intestine, her colon started dying because of the heart attack. I didn't actually know, but I found out after the fact that when somebody has a heart attack, the blood gets rushed to the brain and the heart, and all the other organs in the body get left behind. 2 days after her open heart surgery, they found out that her colon started dying. So they had to remove a little bit of that, and things were okay for another week or so. And then a week after the first operation, they ended up having to take her entire colon out. So she just had her small intestines to try to live on, her stomach and her small intestines. And that took like 4 or 5 weeks for her small intestine, probably almost 5 weeks, for it to kick in and start producing for her to live. And it wasn't maybe a week or so after that, 2 weeks at the most, that they shipped her up to a rehab center. And as far as I'm concerned, I would not send my worst enemy's dog to that rehab center, because she deteriorated at least 50 or 60% from what she was when she was in the ICU at a good hospital. And then it was less than 4 weeks later that she passed away on Thursday, late Thursday night, about 11 p.m. last Thursday, just 4 days ago, whatever it was. And it's really been a roller coaster, up and down, with the emotions and the little victories and the setbacks. And to tell you the truth, Sherry, I told you a few nights ago, but you know, I didn't say it on Facebook or anything, but as far as I'm concerned, I would have just soon her not even lived, going to the hospital for her suffering for almost 11 weeks, up and down roller coaster. And you know, I think probably after about a week and a half, she did tell her husband, my stepdad, that she went. Hang on a second.
Full battery or empty battery? Battery's up here.
Full. Almost. Sorry. Where was I at?
You were talking about what she had said to.
Oh, your yeah, stepdad. Yeah, yeah. She wanted to go home after like a week and a half, but. He kept saying, you know, if I take you home, you're going to die. And then probably maybe 3 weeks ago, when she was up in the rehab center, she didn't have a voice because she had a ventilator down her throat. But she was mouthing words, and he suspected, but he didn't tell anybody. And I suspected it also, and I didn't tell anybody, but she was mouthing the words, take me home, take me home. And it ends up, if she had to have died Thursday, tomorrow, there was going to be a big meeting here at the house with everybody. And Bob, my stepdad, was going to pretty much announce that he was going to call hospice and bring her home. But he never got the chance to tell everybody, and he never got the chance to bring her home.
So, that's an emotional.
Yeah, a roller coaster.
Yeah, that. Well, and plus, I mean, I talked to you during. They had, you know, when she had perked up in some circumstances, and there were different things that were happening at the hospital, and then, like you said, she kind of took a turn for the worst. And
well, she took about 3 or 4 different turns: bad, and then good, and bad, and good, and
right.
Then the last one was just bad. Never got good again.
Right. So now what? Now what for you? What's, you know, this is a lot of what's been going on in your life has been tied to, you know, taking care of the mother and kind of being in that relationship. So now what for you?
Well, I started telling her maybe about 4 months back that I was sick of not having any money. I was sick of depending on her at the end of the month because I would have to get a little bit of money to last out the rest of the month. I get my money on the third. It's called a pension over there in the UK and all that, but it's called disability SSI over here in America. Over there, they'll understand what the pension is. But I was getting sick and tired of a lot of months, not every single month, but quite a few, half of them during the year. I just about run out of money. And she knew that. I told her I wanted to go back to work, and she said, "Yeah, I know. We'll discuss it sometime when I get home and I'm not doing something or whatever." But it never got discussed. But yeah, I do want to go back to work.
And what does that mean for you? Like, what is?
Well,
I don't know if people know what you've done or.
Over here, I don't know how it is over there in the UK or whatever, but over here in America, if you're on disability and you do go back to work, you can almost be assured if something does ever happen again, you'll be screwed trying to get back on the pension, on the disability. Almost 100% you'll be screwed. So, you know, I have to deal with that, or otherwise I have to try to find something that can work under the table money, out of the system type of money or something.
Because because what do these benefits include that you'll be losing if you make too much money?
What does it include? Well, I wouldn't have any health insurance unless I did get a job to where I would have some pretty good health insurance. The medications that I'm on, which really isn't all that great right now as far as the insurance company that I have paying for the medications that I'm on. I'm gonna have to get some sort of a decent type of a job that's gonna pay some decent money or have really good health benefits. That's probably the choices I got. Plus, I'm also going, if I do go back to work and make money and I get off of the disability, I've already been told in several letters from the education board of education or whatever, my school loans are going to become due again. They're currently being forgiven because I am on disability and I can't work, but if I go back to work, I'll have to pay my schooling off.
So it's not just a matter of, oh, you've got to make some money. You're kind of in a position of where you can't really make enough money to pay the things that then they're going to try and put on you.
I've got two people. Lori's in Scotland and Ray's in the UK. They're both saying the same thing. Don't go back to work. Disability living allowance here in the UK, but now changing to PIP. Not sure what that is. Don't go back to work. Just get a part-time job. Cash. You know, that's basically a thing I would most want to do. And I've told you that before, too.
The problem is that, I mean, how would you do that? You know, here, it's not the same, like, companies get penalized for doing that, and so to find companies that are willing to do it,
well,
I'm sure,
yeah,
there
it's
are, but how would you tell about that?
Probably not gonna happen. I mean, maybe local contractors might, you know, it's all gonna be about the liability. I don't really know, unless I actually, like we've talked about, get a corporation and do something that is self-employed type thing and be able to pay myself for cash and take it out of the corporation or give it to the corporation. However that works. I think you've said many times you know how that works, and I'm not totally positive.
I do know how it works, but it still counts against, I mean, you're still using your social security number. And so it's one of the things that unless you go into
Well, can you put?
you make a salary from a corporation that would be below the limit and everything else
Sure.
goes into functioning in the business, that type of thing. But that doesn't increase or I mean, it can pay medical and it can do different things, but it there's they put you in a position of where they almost force you to be dependent.
Well, yeah,
And I'm not saying don't, because it's one of those things where
Well, I do know a man that is deceased right now, but I mean, I went to school with his son, so this guy's father was probably close to being the same age as my mother, but he ended up dying just 3 4 years back. But I think he had his wife get a corporation and had it in her name, and he was able to work. He was on disability for like 15 or 20 years, and he worked all throughout that disability, and I think his wife got paid, and that was the end of that story. He was able to keep his disability.
Well,
He
you see a lot of circumstances like you hear complaints about that type of thing with you have these single moms where their boyfriend, they're collecting all of these, this money and benefits, and then they have a boyfriend who's working, the father, whatever it is.
Right.
And
They
that's
cheated
kind of the same circumstances. They're cheating the system,
cheating the
but maybe
system,
that's the
yes.
only way you can do it.
Yes. That's what he was basically doing, was cheating the system for like 15, 20 years, somewhere in there. Has
I
he?
mean, that's kind of one of those things where I guess, I'm so paranoid about everything that I'm always scared, because I just try to always, my rule is to ride under the radar. So I attempt to do nothing that brings any weird attention, like doing the shows and doing that type of thing that brings enough. But as far as like the local police, as far as like even in government, the things that I put forward and do until my kids are kind of grown and out of the house. My vigilante has kind of been put into check, and I think that a lot of what you're talking about is it's feasible, but there's got to be avenues and there's got to be ways where you can make enough money as an independent that you don't need to worry about all those things. That's where my mind goes. I mean, I'm not sure, you've done a lot of different things. You've done truck driving, you've done, a lot with producing, all the, there's these kids making so much money off of YouTube. And I'm not saying do a YouTube video necessarily, but even that, it's feasible. But being able to produce, to make music, to put in music, to be able to move things around, be able to use networks, those are all feasible and
Yes, they are.
profitable
Well, yeah,
skills.
originally, back in 2011, when I was still in college and studying and all that, and then a year later, when Barack Obama won his second selection, not election, but selection, I started to ponder over all types of things, and I did start researching this, and eventually went into the video podcasting, and then Vin and Laurie invited me over to well, it was TNS Radio then, and then it became MSI Radio, and I originally wanted to look into what we are doing as a financial career. But that's been almost 7 years, and nobody's beating down my door, and I don't have money coming out of my rear end.
Well, but you haven't really marketed yourself either.
Yeah, explain that a little bit more, maybe.
Well, I mean, how many people really know how much that you do as far as production, as far as putting together, shows, queuing, all of that stuff. I mean, how many people even really know how much you're doing? So putting that together in some type of I mean, you could even make a video about that and put it out there on Facebook, put it out there on social media, talking about how you can help other people, you know, move forward and get follower, you know, whatever it is. And then also promoting the things that you're doing already, promoting PIR, you know, all of that stuff can be included.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the times I mean, I make up a little blurb before each show and send it out to almost 4,500 people that are subscribed to the network. And a lot of the times I do put on Facebook that I'm going live with so-and-so or...
But that's not really, I mean, I get it. That's, I mean, that is good, but that's not really that's not really saying what your capabilities are, what your skills are, what you're bringing to the table for all these people that you're putting on air. Do you know what I'm saying? And so maybe putting that out there more, putting it into a resume form or, we have so many templates now that it's easy to do. And it's like, you know, you just answer the question kind of thing.
I wanted to address something that Ray put in the chat also right after we were talking there 3 or 4 minutes ago. Yes, but the system has been cheating all of us all of our lives. You know, we talked about cheating the system or whatever. I did, and you didn't really do that, but I understand that, you know, the system's been screwing us over, so why not screw over the system? I don't know. What are they going to do? Kill me?
Well, probably. You're not talking about the Clintons, you should be fine.
Probably. Yeah, as long as I don't come across the information, they'll get me suicided by the Clintons, right?
Yeah, you're good. As long as you're not receiving any anonymous emails, you're
all right. Right. Don't take any emails from somebody named Wiener, right?
That's exactly right. You see that name, you run like hell. anyway, I have my own opinions about how people are victims, and, you know, I'm not going to get into that today, but there's definitely a lot that's happening, and the way that people perceive what's happening and who is in charge of what is being handed down and all of that is coming into more light. And I think that that'll be a lot of a telltale, because it's not just America that's going to be exposed. I mean, this is a worldwide, you know, it's the sex trafficking, but that's one piece of it. There's so many different underhanded negotiations that are going on as far as selling weapons and taking sides and creating wars and the space program. I mean, we could go into a million things that...
The Space Force?
Well, you know, I mean, he's announced that he's going to create this. This will be the first addition to military since I don't know when. And now he's created this space...
Who's going to get the contract? Tesla? And what's his name? Elon Musk?
No. Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I mean, that's all part of this, but it's also going to be an exposure of what's already out there. You know, I mean, how are they going to explain that? Anyway, I don't know. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how many people. I mean, they were talking about by, you know, 2015 or 2025 that they were going to be, you know, hosting and having people stay off planet in these hotels that are either on Mars or the moon or whatever the hell. So how long have they been up there doing that?
Is that going to be real? Or is it going to be just some kind of a false
simulation?
False simulation virtual thing, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. So this is kind of interesting. My daughter bought her boyfriend one of those virtual reality, you know, like the new PS4 virtual reality games or whatever. You put on the headset. And anyway, it's intense.
Yeah,
I was shocked.
Yeah,
And it's 360, like you can look all the way around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a video up on YouTube. One of my favorite snooker players over there in the UK, Ronnie O'Sullivan. He comes to America and I don't know where he is, but he comes across in his traveling. He did quite a few shows over here in America, American Hustler or something. I don't know what it was called, but one of the episodes, he meets somebody that has a virtual reality pool game, and he's talking about this when he's got the headset on, and he tries to take a shot, and he, well, you know, if you've ever played pool, you sometimes have to lean up against a table, and he is playing this virtual game, and he tries leaning up against the table, and he falls flat on his face, and he says, "Oh my God, I can't believe how realistic it actually is."
Oh, it's like, I mean, I did this one that was like it's a video game. I don't know what it was doing, but it like took you into a virtual reality where you design your own virtual reality.
Yeah. Like a Sims game or something?
Kind of, but I just did it like with the effects that were already there. And it was like, I mean, I was like inside the, the tunnel. And it definitely, you feel like you're there.
Uh-huh.
And things that you're seeing look real, and you feel like you're interacting with them, and
yeah,
you can move that's towards the way them.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And so it just brings more reality to me that they've had this capability for how long. If they're putting it into a video game, imagine what the government is capable of.
Sure.
And I mean, it's like, wow, that.
Well, you know, there's a story out there. I almost feel like I have to sneeze here in a few seconds, but I'm going to try to get through this story. I heard it quite a few years ago. I've never been able to substantiate it, but there was a bunch of, the story goes that a bunch of news reporters got invited to a scientific presentation or something because there was supposed to be some new gadget or new theory or something like that. And these reporters were brought to a conference or whatever, and they were given a presentation by some scientist, some famous scientist on some whatever the deal was. And after 2.5 hours of, you know, almost laborious, boring scientific presentation, after 2.5 hours, they allegedly the scientists that give the presentation just disappeared right in front of their eyes. And then somebody else came up to the stage and said, "What you've just witnessed here in the last 2.5 hours has been the latest in holographic and 3D virtual reality imagery." And I don't really know whether they reported on it or not, but I don't know. That's what the story is. Nobody could actually believe that it was a hologram. Hello?
I'm sorry, I forgot to hit the mute button.
Okay, that's all right.
The capabilities that even that we see on television and the things that they're able to produce and how real that they're able to make animation, that should tell people that if they're able to do that with Disney, what is the government playing with? Because they, you know, they're dealing with a lot different budget and a lot different,
military
budget. Tactics, a whole different avenue of
a lot
thought in this area.
A lot different of the secret budget that never gets reported on. That's what you mean.
Well,
right?
It gets reported as stolen or lost. It's lost. It's always lost.
I've always heard that there is a certain amount of the budget that doesn't get reported on at all. But I think in the last few years here, the trillions and trillions that is so-called quote missing has been stolen, but I think that's different than what the stuff that never actually gets reported on.
Could be. You know, we don't know. We have no idea how much is actually collected.
Yeah.
We're never given real information.
No.
You know, when you take a look at America, and they're talking about all these percentages that people are paying into taxes, okay.
Yeah, that
give
could
us
be.
Numbers.
Yeah, that could be a total. Well, I do know, I've talked to a couple of guys that do a lot of research on the comprehensive annual financial reports, you know, on their particular states, their particular counties. I don't remember their names now. I'd have to look back at my YouTube. It's been like 5-6 years since I've interviewed both of them, but they have both said at the at the township level, the county level, the city and state level, they all have comprehensive annual financial reports, and those they're basically running like 2 and 3 books. I think both of them have said like it's estimated between 5 and 7 of your tax dollars out of every 10 goes into goes to who knows where, between 5 and 7, maybe even 6 and 7.
Well, I mean, and how many people have seen a breakdown of how that money is being spent?
Well, yeah.
First of all, the amount of money that's coming in, how is that, you know, we don't even know. Well, and then secondly, we have no clue how it's spent, but yet we think we have some kind of control over the government or that voting matters.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. You know, they've been lying to us from day one, back before the Revolutionary War, 1776. They've been lying
And this is so funny to me. And I just want to say this because I haven't really addressed this on a lot of different avenues. But sorry, I'm eating M&Ms. It was Christmas. I can't stop eating the freaking candy. I'm sorry.
Can you sugar buzz, huh?
Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Chocolate, gross. So anyway, the whole thing with the Trump's taxes.
Are they plain or peanut?
They're plain. They're just solid chocolate.
Okay.
And they're all red, so I'm sure I'm like also poisoning myself with whatever dyes. And
yeah. All right. You were about to say something about Trump and something.
Okay. It's the big distraction about his taxes. Let me tell you what his tax dollar is going to be. Zero. Anybody who makes over a certain amount of money within their, you know, their write-offs and the things that they can claim and blah, 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 blah. It is designed and it is made zero, right? Because what happens is you can bring in $10 billion. But if you show an outgoing or a loss of 11.5, all of a sudden you have nothing. And it doesn't actually have to be a loss. It's like filing bankruptcy and all these other things. It's all these scams that the rich people have to avoid paying the high rate of taxes.
They're not really scams.
No, it's set up. It's designed.
It's set up
that way.
I get sick of people saying, oh, the rich don't pay any taxes. Well, the rich don't have to pay any taxes.
Everybody pays. See, here's the whole thing, is that really what should be happening, if people were down and agreeing to pay taxes in any country and whatever, it should cover the public services of that area, first of all, which we've discussed before. And that includes your trash, your water, your electric, all that stuff should be not independently contracted. It should be paid for by your tax money.
Yes.
And tax money should only be on sales tax. So you wouldn't pay a tax out of your check. You wouldn't pay a tax out of anything. You would pay a sales tax. So everything you bought, you would pay a 6 or 7% tax on. That's what the government would be run on.
Well, that's the way it was back previous to 1913. We didn't have...
I saw a thing on that.
We didn't have the... you've probably seen it on my page. We didn't have the... We didn't have the federal taxes back then. We just had we had somewhat of a federal tax, but it was a tax on corporations, both domestic and foreign corporations. People didn't have to pay federal taxes before 1913. They had the state and the, I don't know what, you know, they had their own taxes that went to the state or whatever, and then you had the tax on the goods that you bought.
Well, people need to look up what year was the Federal Reserve institutionalized.
1913.
And there you go. Right? It all leads back to the Federal Reserve as far as taxes, mortgages, money.
Yeah. And, you know, we had surpluses in our economic growth. We didn't have $22 trillion in deficit. We didn't have deficits at all until the First World War. And then the second, and then Korea, Vietnam, and so forth, so on after that.
Because it was actually the money system that's being used currently around the world is not, it's not a money, it's a debt system.
Yes.
Right, so it's not, it's just like with credit. You know, people are always, and I don't know about in other countries, but in the U.S., people will talk about when they're going to go buy a house or they're going to buy a car or whatever it is. They have to have a certain credit rating.
Yep.
Right. Credit's for poor people.
Yeah, well, they push
it. If you have enough money, you don't give a shit about credit.
They push it on everybody, though. Everybody.
Yeah, but I can tell you that there are a lot of people out. They don't have credit, so they probably have it great because they can pay everything. But they pay cash.
It's all about the interest.
Do what?
It's all about the interest. They don't want anybody paying cash for nothing.
Well, no, but it's also about making the market and creating the inflation rates and the stability of the economy is all based and done through the Federal Reserve. And that is not just it through the United States. That's worldwide.
Yes.
And when you look at the inflation rates of products, of services, all these different things, it doesn't match anywhere near to the wages and to the economy, except for in the pockets of these large corporations, like we've discussed. And everybody's like, oh, well, you know, that's just the way it is. You've got the elite, the rich get richer and all these other things, which is true. But it's because the little guy can't compete, right? I mean, they've been stomped out.
The ultimate goal, what we've had for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, we've had four classes of people. We've had the filthy elite rich, then we've had the millionaires, and then we've had what used to be referred to as the middle class, and then we've had the poor. That's the four classes of people we've had. But you know, ultimately they want two classes. They want the filthy, stinking rich and the poor.
I think what's funny is if you actually look at the trends in comparison, everyone is poor in comparison to the elite.
Yeah, well.
Even the millionaires. You'd be shocked if you actually look at the projection and you look at it on a scale, you know, or on a graph. It is like you have your average millionaire, billionaire.
Well, you know,
it is, and then you have these elite families, and they have so much money that it puts them in a class by themselves.
Yes, yes. Well, if you remember back in 2008, or maybe it was 2012. I don't remember which puppet campaign it was, but it was either the first or the second selection of Barack Obama, that he was telling all of his campaigners and everybody that would listen to him that he was going to raise the taxes on the rich. And what his classification of the rich, he would say right in his speeches, anybody that made over $250,000 a year was going to be in this special tax bracket. And, well, you know, if you actually want to look at it, somebody that makes $250,000 a year, you're either going to have to be at the CEO of a smallish type of or a middle type of corporation, or you were going to have to be a small business owner.
That's not really true today. I can tell you that.
Well,
a regional manager at Sonic last year made $210,000.
Right, but they were probably slave drivers and tyrants, all right?
No, it's all based on, I mean, they were slave drivers to themselves. They run things a certain way, but there's not a lot. You can't slave drive too many people.
Yes, but you're just confirming what I said a minute ago. You're going to have to be a middle-level CEO or some high officer of a, you know, of a corporation.
Well, I'm just really you're right. But it's like being a CEO right now in the state of Colorado. If you're a CEO of a large corporation, you're making over $1 million a year. You're not making $250,000. Right.
But I did say middle-type corporation, though, or something.
Right. It would have to be, like a Sonic Corporation, like those people are making, you know, the regional managers are making $250,000 to $300,000 a year.
Uh-huh. But, you know, if you don't have one of them type of jobs, you're going to have to be self-employed to make that kind of a money. And virtually 80% of that's going to go back in your small company, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, and if you do it legitimately, another quarter of it goes into taxes.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, and that's true. And that's why, you know, the internet is such a big deal right now. And, you know, there's so much plausibility, like, you know, being able to produce different things and then sell them on the internet, as opposed to having the store or having to market, you know, in other places, all of that type of thing. That's there's a lot of things that can happen that way.
Yeah, but I guess what my point was, what I was getting to, that that characterization, you know, that story was Barack Obama was wanting to tax the middle class. That was what I was trying to get to, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Because $250,000 a year these days, you know, it
depends on where you live.
Still,
yeah,
sounds like a lot.
Depends on where you live. If it's
right,
if it's in Los Angeles or Seattle or something like that, that's almost like middle. I mean, that's a little bit less than middle class, isn't it?
You're about a middle class.
Yeah.
You're about average, but the thing is, well, and look, you're above average. I want to say that. I mean, you're living a lifestyle that's above average if you're, you know, living to the max capability of that type of income, but
you're not rich.
Right. You're living your lifestyle and yeah, you're paying yeah. for your lifestyle. And that's pretty much, you know, so people can have a rich lifestyle, they can have more, but they're still paying out everything that they have. It's not like these elite families that are
yes.
able to just, I mean, the thought of the money is drop, absolutely no thing.
Drop $1 billion on nothing, right?
It doesn't even matter. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, you dropping a dollar out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Because it has no value because they have so much.
Yeah, they own the banks and they own the printing presses.
Well, and they've cornered every market, right, that is feasible to survival. They've cornered, and people can look this up. If they look up the Rothschild Foundation, when the railroad came in and all these other things were happening, the Federal Reserve, the taxation, all of that was happening. They were also cornering through the railroad. They were cornering your air, right? And what it was is that property used to be, you owned, you'd buy a plot, you own the ground below and to the infinity above.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now you own nothing above the ground.
Right, right.
And you own nothing like so many feet below the ground.
Yeah.
Well, all of that has been taken.
There were virtually hundreds of thousands of people that lived out east that made the pilgrimage west to America, because if you went to any state past the Mississippi and stuck a claim in the ground, you were guaranteed, I don't know how many it was. I think it was at least 6 acres or 60 acres or some amount. I don't remember which one it was, but, you know, what was it, back in the middle part of the 19th century is when all that happened.
Well, it's getting to the point now, and I've seen memes about it, and I hear people talking about it, but I think we are getting to the point of where people are going to have to choose, right? Because everything has been, it's not even maybe in, you know, as far as a conspiracy or intentional, but the GMO has been spread through insects and air and ground contaminated, you know,
yes.
so many areas that...
Yeah.
Having your original generation, here's the thing about it. If people look up what GMO means, originally what they were trying to do is be able to produce more, right? And have it be more nutritious.
Yes.
Okay. So in doing that, they had to put things in it that would keep bugs away. So they started adding different pesticides in amounts that were not necessarily toxic to humans. And like I said, in those small amounts.
Right.
And the issue is, like in a tomato, the 27 GMO ingredients, out of 27, well, I think the 23 are pesticides, and then you've got a couple shots of vitamin B or something in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I think, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe somebody in the chat can, but I think it's been, what, within the last 20 to 30 years, the genetic modification of the food is to kill the insect, whatever particular insect happens to be for that fruit or vegetable. And that is, I think that's what's affecting us, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. If you look at, I mean, if you actually look at the ingredients, they are all pesticides.
Uh-huh.
and or different, in different forms of pesticides. Like I said, out of, if you look at the what makes it a GMO, and they'll add whatever it is.
Yeah.
Out of 20, like in a tomato.
Yeah. Look at what their argument is for chlorine in the water supply. You know, their argument happens to be, well, we chlorinate the water to kill the germs that are in the water.
Well, and that's because we're recycling water that we're shitting in.
Yeah, Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize, they don't think about, okay, when they're going to these water plant, you know, like when the water's being flushed in your toilet, like everybody has this vision of it going to some super poopy swamp or something where alligators are eating it
yeah.
up.
Yeah, well, you're...
I got a newsflash for you. It goes into these great big tubs, they add a bunch of shit to it, break yeah. it down, yep. stir it up, and start filtering it back into
putting
the water.
Putting it back into the water. That happened to be a one of the reasons why the city of Chicago nearly came to a screeching halt as far as their existence, because
they were pooping in their water.
They were dumping the waste yeah. into the Chicago River, and it would go into Lake Michigan. Well, their water pumps just happened to be right there at the mouth of Lake Michigan, where the poop was going right.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. they created these, like, they actually, this is so gross, but.
Then, I know. It seems like there was, I think in the 17th century, London had some sort of a huge epidemic with.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they were doing the same thing. They were doing the same thing.
Yes. And now what's happened, so they create these huge, like here, they have this one plant that it literally, it's like they're in these huge cement tub. Like, I mean, when I say a tub, that's it's like a building. It's like a big cement round building.
Sure.
No top on it that has like this literal, like has this thing that just stirs it constantly.
It's waste management. Yeah.
And then all these enzymes and all these different things are put in there to break it down. And it's all broken down so that it can be filtered and yeah. literally put back into your water. So yeah. it's like, you know, people are talking about bleach and ammonia and this and that. Well, you know, there's I don't know how long people think they're going to have the luxuries of life, like all the water coming out their sinks and flushing yeah. their toilets yeah. and doing all this stuff when nobody's recycling, nobody's taking the care that needs to be done to actually do anything themselves.
The correct care. Yeah. Yeah. I virtually can't drink water without putting, I don't know, like lemon slices in it or flavored water, because I can taste the chlorine.
Except for that, why I would never. I don't drink. You shouldn't be drinking tap water at all.
Well,
lemon in it.
Yeah, I mean, ours comes from a well, but that's got to be somewhat better than
the. I think that's definitely better, but it's probably. I mean, it depends on the area that you live.
Uh huh.
Because, like here, you know, the Golden area, which everybody just, you know, it's blown up and everybody just loves to live there. And all these yuppies have bought up and made the pricing so outrageous. Well, I've got a newsflash for everybody. Like, there's asbestos and all kinds of contamination from the School of Mines being rebuilt and then Coors dumping in the water supply for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, so all of that is going to have a consequence eventually. You know, we can't yeah. just keep taking and not putting anything back into the systems that we're depleting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, well, you know, I mean, know. That's,
what do we do? Is there some secret technology that the elites have that can break down our crap and not feed us back to us with all these deadly chemicals? And
well, I think there's all kinds of stuff that's probably going on beyond our comprehension. The foods that they eat are probably not anywhere. Well, and who knows? I mean, I like all of a sudden, as I was saying that, I get these, you know, I'm pretty dramatic. So it could be either way. It's either the most healthy, you know, keeping them alive to be 112 and still jogging around the block. Or they're eating humans, you know? I mean, let's be real. You've got 30,000 people just out of the United States missing every single month and not finding a single trace of them. Yeah. Not finding their bodies, not yep. finding their bones, not finding anything.
Right.
A month? 30,000 a month for however long that they've been tracking this, and there's not a single body anywhere? Come on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
what's well, happening to them?
I've always said for years, you know, they have secret teams that will never be reported on that take these people, and whatever's being done with them is being
you know,
done
and in our, well, and here's the thing is that, you know, in our minds we're like, oh, they're being trafficked, they're being this, they're being that. We don't know what's happening to them. Because like I said, you know, all of a sudden we could find out, and this isn't an exaggeration. It sounds like a Wi-Fi or a, you know,
yeah,
like
we haven't,
a sci-fi movie.
We haven't had any whistleblowers yet. Yeah.
Well, and there have been, but they're kind of poo-pooed. It's like David Icke, and David Wolf, and Corey Good. They all talk about this off-planet stuff, but they've all been discredited in different ways, and I don't know if that's valid or not.
They all get discredited in the same way. Oh, you, they stereotype whoever it is.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, when I watch David Icke, it's hard for me to absorb the information because he's so full of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find it hard to believe that somebody that's being exposed to all of these technologies and all of these different things that's on our side, our side in quotations, with the white hats or whatever, in that situation, I find it hard to believe that they are going to be so full of ego and fear-based information that's how it's going to be spread. That seems more like a plant to be exposing people to something that's coming, right? It's like trickles out because, like, you've got the crazies talking about it. You've got a few people believing it. You've got a few people following it. I mean, think of how many things this has happened with over the last 100 years.
It's another
war technique.
That's the only thing that is their biggest trick, like Zionism. All they have to do is call somebody crazy, aluminum tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist.
All you have to do is make a sci-fi movie about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they know all they have to do is call us a name and laugh at us and point us and call us crazy, and it works on 99.9% of the people.
Well, and it's not even the people. Here's what's unfortunate about it is, and you and I both know victims of gang stalking and different, you know, things that we won't even get into today. But, you know, I've been through a lot myself, and I feel like there are certain circumstances that we put ourselves into. And this is why I was saying earlier about just not putting myself in positions of where I'm a target. It's not necessarily like a target as far as speaking out or, you know, putting myself in positions of authority necessarily, but it's more like, you know, I'm not going to break the law so that everything else that I'm doing gets put into that same classification. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that's, I think, where, you know, there's a lot to gain and there's a lot at stake right now in politics, because with this impeachment, again, most people don't even know how impeachment works or how the government works or how anything else. They're screaming about the impeachment and this and that, which is run by these people that have been attacking him the entire time. And it's a complete, I mean, it's just a ploy and a distraction from all the things that are really happening, because the exposure of the Ukraine and the involvement in the Democratic Party and all of these different things, it's not just about, oh, they were, you know, conspiring with the enemy. It's not just about that.
Right.
There is world issues that are happening through this exchange, and Ukraine and the uranium and the selling of different, you know,
technology,
weapons, but
technology, yeah,
technologies and all of these different things that have been exchanged. And I think that, you know, one of the things in the exposure of is in this, you know, space program is that that's where they're going to find out a lot of this has been happening.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, two things. I definitely got the century wrong. Laurie and Ray said 1858. So that was a middle of the 19th century. But the second thing, I think it covertly, what you just said about Russia and the Ukraine and all of this stink here in the last 3+ years, or even going further back with the Clintons and Obama and whomever, I think it vindicates the theory that I've said for so long. These countries like Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S., Great Britain, they are all conspiring together secretly.
It's not even, to me, there's not even a question. It's not even a conspiracy anymore, because all you have to do is look at the owners and the banks that are involved in the Federal Reserve. All these things that we've been talking about and all these things that are affected, it's not just in the United States. It's not just about the
right.
American people or the American money. Right. This is worldwide.
Sure,
Federal Reserve runs the world.
The cabal, yeah.
Of the money.
I've said forever that I think that these countries are conspiring together in a concerted effort, and you know, in a way that vindicates it in my mind anyways.
Well, I think a lot of things we're going to, that's part of the catalyst of Trump. You know, it's the funniest thing to me to be watching. I'll bet you anything that this whole impeachment and everything that's coming out is going to almost guarantee his reelection
sure.
in 2020.
Sure, it will.
Right? And
did you see the predictions I did a couple of weeks back?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's all part of the play. And
yeah,
it does have it to is. Happen, because the thing about the exposure, it's just like with the impeachment. What a lot of people don't realize is this opens it up to the Supreme Court, where not only then can evidence be presented against Trump, but the evidence that has been collected in these emails and all of these things that
yep.
have been suppressed
yep.
can now be presented in the Supreme Court, becomes public knowledge. There's
correct,
a whole
but
list of things that are going to happen.
Why would
big.
You know, it seems a little bit odd. I mean, I can break down what you're just saying. Why would the Democratic Party impeach him if all of this stuff is going to come out about the Democratic Party's corruption?
Well, because what happened is there's a whole story about this, but I'm not going to get into too much detail, but Pelosi basically put her foot in her mouth. And once she made that step.
They did that before he was even elected, when he was campaigning.
But this happened during what was it?
The story came out last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, that the entire Democratic Party, both Senate and Congress, were planning on trying to impeach him before he was even elected.
Well, and there's a lot, and this is all going to come out. All the stuff that they, because here's what's funny, is there's, if people really were taking a look, they would see that almost all of the evidence, and it, because at first I was, you know, thinking, oh, they had something, and started going through. And almost all the evidence they have ends up turning on themselves and shows exactly what they have been doing, as far as, you know, there's so much money laundering and there's so many different deals and treason, that as far as selling out our country and using taxpayer dollars and on and on and on. That, I mean, it just becomes to the point of where that shit just needs to be shut down. Like,
uh-huh.
you know, if it were a corporation the way it's supposed to be run, it would no longer even be in existence.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
And that's what's going to end up happening with Trump, is Trump will end up eliminating both Democratic and Republican parties.
Yeah.
And
what, going
know,
to a...
One world order. Well, I don't know that that's necessarily... Do I want a one world order? No.
They wanted...
But that's where we're at anyway.
I heard the conspiracy many years ago that they wanted seven separate continent states. You know, North America, Canada, and South America.
It's the seven families in control.
Yes, yes.
Right? And the thing about that is this is what I see that's happening with Trump. And this is, you know, people crying out about, oh, you know, he's feeding the elite. He's doing this. He's doing that. Okay, well, that may be true. But the reasoning and the showing again behind it is the catalyst. Right.
Yes.
Showing people what's really been happening this whole time anyway. He's not doing anything different. Right. He's just
no.
putting it now where people can see it.
Well, it's not even him, though.
It's not him. It's whoever's behind him. But it doesn't have anything to do with the Democratic or the Republican Party.
No, no.
That's the difference.
No.
And this whole thing, you know, and the telltale for me with this, and I know people think I'm crazy, but it's how it's shown on The Simpsons, how it's shown in different shows, and how, you know, all of these different things led up to Trump becoming president.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I said it before last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was, you know, they're going to, like you talked about The Simpsons, in the Simpson episode, Trump gets killed, doesn't he, or something, or?
Well, there's a Simpsons episode where Trump gets assassinated.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and
I mean,
he ends up getting killed. Well, here's the thing about that. And this is where, you know, people can think I'm crazy, and I probably am. But I do believe that the government, I think that Trump is deeper involved in this, in the deep state, in the hidden agendas than people understand or know. And
well,
it's
not
because of his money. It's because of the connections of his family. It's the connections to the tie of the writers in Disney and all of these other areas.
Tesla.
Well, and exactly. And so he has insight that is not just, not just about what he's putting on the show of being president of America.
They have probably been grooming him from a very early age of, middle.
Well, he's time traveling the way that they are talking about, and he's doing the things he's probably experienced this who knows how many times. You know, there was evidence at one point of his son actually time traveling. There were pictures, there were things happening that showed that he was definitely privy to that type of technology. And people that think that that's not happening, or that, oh well, that's just too much and this and that, well, I got a news slide. This next year is going to really, it's going to drop bombs on people, because those trillions of dollars that have been missing have been going into technologies that are not just of this planet, you know,
sure.
experience.
Sure.
That's for sure.
I'm positive that they're going to come out someday. Who knows what day that is, whether it's 10, 20, 30 years from now. And they are more than likely going to say, we're going to leave this earth, and there's going to be just
that's what they're talking about. They're talking about being able to take a travel to whatever planet and stay in a hotel,
yes,
basically.
And the rest of us.
How long have you been building that?
Yeah.
How many people are up there building that?
Yeah. And the rest of us are.
What technology do you have to do something like that?
And the rest of us are going to have to fight it out. Yeah.
Well, and it may not even be a fight it out. It may be something where, I mean, because here's the other part of it. They always need service. And so as much as, you know, and so people are talking about, oh, well, you know, they want everybody killed. They want this. Well, that could be true, because maybe there's too many that are not in service now. You see what I'm saying? There are too many of the baby boomers and this and that. There's not enough, you know, to really generate what's supposed to be happening. But they're not going to deplete the planet to a point of where they are not generating what they need. And that takes a lot, because they're not just talking about, and they're not satisfied with $1 million or $1 billion.
Right.
It's not just about the money. It's the power. It's the control.
Yeah.
It's the things that are so beyond most people's comprehension.
I expect one day it's not going to be about money. They will just eventually stop the banking system and tell.
That's what's happening now.
They're going to tell people, you know, you're going to be our slaves, our real slaves.
It's going to be through Bitcoin. It's going to be through electronic currency. And the thing about it, it's like if you look at, you know, Star Trek, and you look at these different space shows or whatever it is about future events, not about past, whatever it is. It's like when you're looking at those shows, just like with the flip phones, there's no currency. It's all done by your statute, by your status, by who you know, by who you are.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, so they still have, they have the poor of the poor, but they're still in service.
But I figure one day they're going to tell whoever is still left that they haven't killed, you're going to be our actual slave, and you're going to work for your food. And that's going
to
be
think they'll have to tell anybody anything. I think that's already happening.
Well, yeah, in a covert way, sure.
I don't even think it's covert. I mean, there's people that are, I mean, it's just like in your circumstance, living off, you know, a government system, regardless of whether you earn it, regardless of whether, you know, whatever the circumstances are, they are then in control.
Uh-huh.
They determine which doctors you can go to, what medical care you need. If you decline medical care, they can cut off your benefits.
Right.
It, you know, there's a whole list of things they can decide where you live.
Exactly.
They can decide where you don't live.
Exactly. That's been the technological tyranny from the beginning.
That's been going on, though, for how long? That's all part of this system. It's like, you know, people, we want it to be different, but we continue to live by a system that is in control, and we don't want to take back the control because it's too much work.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's, you know? It also goes against the moral grain of the mass majority of the people.
Well, yeah, the brainwashing has been deep, and it's generational. Yeah,
there's no mistake why Napoleon said religion keeps the poor from murdering the elite.
Well, and it is true in a lot of ways, but it also, I mean, you think about and look at our societies, religion, in my opinion, was the initiation of the downfall, but that, sure, you know, it's gone so much further than that, because in every country now, your judicial systems, your schooling systems, your educational anything, your government systems, you go down the list, and they are not only just corrupt, well, they are literally going against the people.
Sure. The entire system is... all depending on how much money you have, exactly.
And it's not even that. See, this is how stupid it is the people who have a bunch of money, while they're doing is, yeah, they get the better life, they get a better taste of slavery, but they are still feeding into the system, right? They're still following in the elite steps. They're going to the elite schools and being taught by the elite people. And then that way they're only downloading, they're only feeding off of, like in our medical industry, in our teaching industry. It's all about teaching and producing what they're being told.
I think it all depends on what family you have, what kind of family ties, on what type of a indoctrination that you're given as a child.
I think that can be true, but I think it's also the society we live in has a big play in it.
You know, we talk about the British royals or any other country that still has a royals. I don't remember all of them now, but, you know, all of the presidents from America here, they're all in the same family, each and every single one of them. They have ties to each other. George Bush was like seventh cousins to Tony Blair back in the early 2000s. I'm just about positive. I haven't seen anything lately here, but Trump is probably sixth or eighth cousin to the Queen, or Tony Blair, or whatever the case happens to be. You know, if somebody happens to break out of the poor and become somewhat wealthy, like in the over $10 million range as far as their family's worth, they're not, I don't believe for the most part, that they are part of that elite family. They've probably broken out and done good for themselves.
I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know that, because I don't know anybody that's, I mean, it's just like, I don't believe for one second with Trump's ties, with his family relations, with everything that he had going on, I don't believe for a second that he's not involved. And that's, you know, I'm not under a misconception, even though
I don't believe he's not involved either. I believe he is involved.
I know, and he's involved, but it's deeper. It's, there's so much in when you talk about family indoctrination, it's just like, if you take a look at society and what has actually happened, you know, people will say, well, you don't have to pay taxes or this and that. Well, okay, well then don't pay taxes and make over a certain amount of money and see what happens.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? So the consequences, it's like, you know, there's things and there's ways to go about using their own system against them.
Yeah.
To get things done or accomplish things that you want. But because we've agreed and signed up for and are living in the society that, and the thing is we can say, okay, well, we're not choosing that. We want something different. And then running down to 7-Eleven and grabbing a six pack or, you know, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, I've said from day one, I understand all of the arguments about not paying taxes and not being subject to the 400,000 laws on the books, but the big problem is going to be having the masses accept that as truth.
Well, and the whole thing is that is the problem, because it's not just, it's your fellow man, it's It's the guy who's making 35, or maybe he's making $60,000 a year as a cop somewhere, and that's, he's doing his civic duty, and he's going to make sure that every law is abided.
Yeah.
It's such indoctrination that they feel like they're doing the right thing.
Yes,
so
the vast majority of them do, yeah.
And most people believe that whatever it is that they're doing is the righteous.
Well,
and
you know...
And it's mostly just determining what is righteous for others.
I showed. Do you remember the Geraldo Rivera video when he went over to Afghanistan, and he interviewed the U.S. troops guarding the opium in the poppy field?
Oh, I think I do. I kind of remember it, but I don't really.
That's on YouTube. Anyone can go look it up. Geraldo Rivera worked for Fox News, and he went over to Afghanistan, and he interviewed some soldiers, and they were guarding the poppy fields, and they said, "Yeah, we don't really like it, but we have to guard the poppy fields so the Taliban can't get the opium." That was their argument. Yeah, we have to guard it so the Taliban can't get it.
Yeah, and who is getting it?
Yeah, the CIA.
Yeah, exactly right. But see, nobody even puts that together. Like, so I mean, and think about how long that's been out. Like, so this is the thing. People know.
Yeah.
People do know. They just, and if they don't know, then it's chosen ignorance.
Yeah.
And so, and everybody has their own story in their own country, in their own county, in their own city.
Uh-huh.
Of what they're contributing to. You know, to feeding the society that we live in. Yeah. We're all doing it.
I showed that video to my stepdad one time, and he got the deer in the headlight, glassy-eyed look. He didn't really get it.
That's what most people do.
Yeah.
And most people will deny it and say that it's not true, that it's made up. It's all different things.
So what?
People don't want their paradigm shattered. They don't want to believe that the things that they've been brought up to believe, the things that they've believed in their whole life, are nothing but a scam.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to believe that.
Yeah. Well, he just said, so what? So what are you going to do about that?
Well, and that's the whole thing is nobody believes that they can do anything, right? Say, like, oh, what's one person going to do, you know, against the world, this and that. Yeah. Well, that is the issue, is that it's a matter of people coming together and saying, you know what, we're just not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, one person, two person, three person, you know, that type of thing.
I think they've had the mantra, the news agencies, going back to, I don't know, like probably the middle of the 19th century. They've always had this mantra is, well, what are you going to do? You can't fight City Hall.
Right. Well, that's because they don't want you fighting. City
Hall,
right? But that is the only place really to be fighting.
Yeah.
Is through the, you know, they've set up this system, this judicial system that we're all supposed to follow, but it's, you know, they have the back doors that they need to be following as well. And that's where I think a lot of this, you know, it can get convoluted because of language and because of knowledge. And that's why the lawyers have advantages and people are like, they're the devil. They're the ones that are creating all this. Well, yeah, they are, because they're the ones who understand the way that the system works.
Uh-huh.
So if people are choosing to be run by a system that they don't understand how it works, who's the asshole?
Yeah. Oh, why do you think the most sought after jobs in America are government jobs?
Because they pay well and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. And plus you get to screw over the people that were mean to you, maybe. I don't know.
It depends on what government. I mean, I think police, yeah, I think most of them are power-tripping assholes. I don't know that that's the case of all of them. I think some of them do go into it thinking that they're going to save the world. They have mommy issues. They have daddy issues. They have issues with they were beat up as a kid, that nobody saved them, so now they're going to go and save the world. I mean, that's pretty much every single aspect of anything that we look at is a form of somebody's wounding being projected out and created in society so that they can feel worthy of something.
Yeah.
But, you know, being a lawyer, being a doctor, being any of those things, all we're doing is feeding into the system.
Uh-huh. I typed while I was muted there. I typed into Lori. She's been good till now, huh? And she said, she has. Must be Christmas. You didn't drop any F-bombs or any other bad words up until last
last minute and a half, 2 minutes.
See, I know, I get passionate. Well, and I'm a little distracted. I'm getting ready to leave, and so we're actually going to cut this a little bit short. And
what are you talking about? We've already did an hour and a half almost.
I know, it's pretty good. No, we were only going to do an hour, so I feel like now we've kind of caught up on things, and I'm glad I got to hang out with you, Stephen. I'm glad I got to hang out with people from PIR. I love you guys. Happy New Year. In case I'm not connected to anybody that during that time, I'm going to be I'm taking off. I'm going to go to Bainbridge for a few days and hang out on the island, get away from everything. So anyway, thanks, Stephen, for setting all this up.
Well, I was going to have to run something anyways, and I did run something for a half an hour, and everybody stayed in chat.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
I'm telling you what.
Well, good.
It's really nice.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm glad you guys were all there. I hope to be talking to everybody this next week. I've changed my work schedule, and I quit that job. So now I'm a lot more free.
for a few moments anyways, until you get the job. Monday, right? You got
interview
Monday?
I have another interview Monday, and I'm sure I'll get it. Uh-huh. But I'm still taking my vacation.
Yeah, right.
No, I have actually that interview's on Tuesday. Yeah, no, I've scheduled the interview Tuesday. I fly out on Monday.
Oh, so, Captain wanted to know what island. That's Bainbridge Island over in state of Washington, outside of Seattle.
It's off the coast. Yeah, you take a boat over. It's one of the islands off the coast of Seattle.
Bainbridge, yes. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice there. I mean, it's definitely, it's cold. It's not like going to the tropic or anything.
No, because you're right on the ocean.
Right. But it's nice, and it's away from Denver, which has been, you know, they have a lot going on right now in Colorado. So it'll be nice to just take a little break, get away from everything. And then I'll be back next week.
Okay.
All right. Well, again, thanks, PIR. Thanks, Stephen. Hope everyone has a great holiday and a great weekend. Ciao, everybody.
Yes, and thank you, everyone, for putting up with me over the last couple of months, being gone quite a bit on Wednesdays and some other days, but I don't have any reason to travel 85 miles anymore to go see my mother, so I do want to thank everybody for the well wishes and the condolences, so thank you, everyone. I do have a good guest coming up. It's been close to 6.5 years ago. I think it was in June of 2013, Sherry. I talked to you earlier on the phone about it, but I'm having Dr. Judith Reisman come back on for an hour. She's in her mid-80s, and she's been fighting the system for, I don't know, probably like at least 50-plus years. Probably as long as I've been alive, she's been fighting the system, and she's going to come back on Tuesday and going to have some fun, kick some of the pedophile cabal's rear ends.
That'll be good. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Until next time.